From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Meet the Movie Press. And now, here's your host, the editor-in-chief of SchmoesNo.com, Mark Riley. And from the Wrap, Jeff Snyder.
That's the way you start a show.
Oh yeah, it's Friday morning, baby.
Yes, and hello, Schmoeville. Welcome to another perfect, awesome episode of Meet the Movie Press. I am Mark Riley, editor-in-chief of SchmoesNo.com.
Jeff Snyder, film reporter for The Wrap.
That he is. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm tired. It's Friday.
I know. It's one of those weeks. I'm tired, too. I was telling you before we started that I was like, we got the show in the morning. I'm going to just call it an early night. The girlfriend and I were like, hey, let's watch like the first part of Edge of Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat and roll credits. We're like, oh, it's 2 a.m. And
when Tom Cruise beckons, you can't ignore his call.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good movie. That was fun.
But it is a glorious Friday because it's Gone Girl Friday.
We're both going, right? Yep, we're going tonight.
You weren't invited to a press screening?
I was not.
Neither was I. This is a very tough list to get on, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, what?
I don't know what you have to do these days.
It's getting rave reviews, and yet they won't invite the press to go and see it. I'm just excited to see it.
I am so pumped. New David Fincher tonight. Going with 2 of my best buddies. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, right. And so this is a great episode, as always, on Meet the Movie Press. I want to thank you guys for liking the Facebook page, Meet the Movie Press, on the Schmoes No Network, and for rating and subscribing to the iTunes. You guys, we're just kicking butt. We're rising the charts every week.
Taking the town by storm.
That's right. And as you guys know, we want to destroy the podcast's world by becoming the number one podcast in the world. Can that happen?
My greatest ambition. I won't stop until we have dominated the charts.
that's right. That's what I want. But for this episode, we have a very special guest calling in via Skype. We have Alex Billington calling in from firstshowing.net.
Oh, yeah. Love Alex. He's been in the game a long time. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Yeah. He's got a great site. So we're going to get into that. He's going to be calling in a couple minutes. But we're going to start it off by just talking about a little bit of what we did this week. Last week, which kind of got some made some waves out there. And guys, I'm going to issue a spoiler alert. If you didn't check out our Fantastic Four scoop on schmoesno.com, we kind of threw something out there that people liked. I don't know. Did you read about it, Jeff?
This is the fact that Sue Storm is adopted.
Sure. That's part of it, which we kind of knew.
Oh, right, and how they got their powers. Yeah, no. Tell
us. Yeah. So, again, spoiler alert, guys. If you want to remain spoiler-free and pure movie-going experience for Fantastic Four, we dropped out there. We had a very reliable source, actually, tell us about this. Very trusted. He was legitimate. And
it was Miles Teller, wasn't it?
It was Miles Teller. He told me everything. I know everything. We know that Sue Storm was probably going to be adopted because of the casting of, please tell me and help me. The father.
Is it the guy from House of Cards?
Yeah.
Freddy, the rib guy? Cause like, it's like when I was tracking that, it was going to be Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad, but he didn't get it, right?
No, he didn't.
I think it's Freddy, the rib guy from House of Cards, Reggie Cathy, right?
Yes. Okay, thank you. That's the name. I'm foggy because of Edge of Tomorrow. Thank you, Tom Cruise.
I didn't even need IMDb for that.
That's right. I love your knowledge. So we broke the powers that they get are from a portal that opens up another dimension. That's what we're hearing. No spaceship, no, weird, cosmic radiation, whatever it is, like I guess the source material. What I'm hearing is more in line with the Ultimate comic line that Marvel did with, Fantastic Four, X-Men, all that kind of stuff. So we're hearing that the powers they get are from this, lab experiment gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like portals.
I do too.
Never met a portal I didn't like.
Portals usually take you to an interesting new place in this world or another dimension. Is that correct? Portals?
Yeah, sure. I mean, listen, I'm trying not to pay attention to too much Fantastic Four stuff because Fox and Josh Trank have done such a good job keeping everything under wraps. I'm like, let's just play the game that they want to play. I'll be honest. I'm not trying to go out of my way to read too much about that one.
Well, I'm sorry for spoiling you then.
Yeah, really. Thanks.
Yeah. And you know what?
On the show.
Yeah. the spoilers, I mean, we talked a little bit about that, you guys. With spoilers, you know, people either love them or they hate them. But we do have a big readership that wants to know. So we post it.
We're going to talk about the Star Wars stuff with Alex. I imagine I'm ready to rip into that. But
I'm glad
rip good. Into it
because
we'll wait for Alex.
We will wait for Alex. But he is calling in like any second now. But I wanted to touch on your exclusive a little bit, Goat.
Right, because Alex won't care about that one. This is I was super excited about this story.
Yeah.
Nobody seemed to care.
I cared.
I'll put it this way. IndieWire didn't even do a story about it. This is a new James Franco project, okay? It's got David Gordon Green lineage, Jeff Nichols lineage, and IndieWire didn't even care. Meet the Movie Press, I'm calling you out, IndieWire.
Wow.
This is in your backyard.
Yeah.
Okay, you should care about this.
Yeah.
Goat, I read years ago. David Gordon Green was going to direct it. It's based on the memoir by Brad Land.
Yep.
It is a story of, two brothers and essentially college frat hazing gone wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And Emile Hirsch was going to star in this movie. This was like 10 years ago or something.
Wow.
Eventually, you know, David Gordon, for whatever reason, it didn't get made. Jeff Nichols came on to direct. And then this week it got Andrew Neil as a director. Now, I haven't seen Andrew Neil's work. He did King Kelly, you know, a couple of other things. He produced Stand Clear of the Closing Doors.
Wow. I'm not familiar.
But Franco is going to be producing it. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he's teaming up with Christine Vachon. John Wells is the executive producer. There is some serious pedigree to this project. And yeah, it was the internet kind of met it with silence.
Yeah. But for me, I love it because I know this story. I think it's a powerful story. That can be like it can really shake things up and really shine a light on the fraternity system because look, I came from a fraternity. Mm. I luckily wasn't hazed like a lot of my friends out there, but oh man, I've heard stories of these hazing things and they have gone wrong and people have died.
Mm-hmm.
And is this what
my brother was in a frat? I don't think anyone's dying up at Syracuse. But,
yeah. No, well, I came from USC where there was some serious hazing going on there.
It can get intense. Mm-hmm. And so, listen, I know Franco has been producing, directing, adapting all these kind of big books. As I Lay Dying, Faulkner and Child of God, Cormac McCarthy. Like, good for him and all, but like this book to me is even better than those.
Yeah. I agree, and I was so happy that you were reporting on it. It was an exclusive of yours, and I paid attention.
I was excited about it, and here's the funny thing about that. You know, I had held it for like a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, and I kind of just got anxious, and I went to the people involved, and I was like, listen, James Franco has a big mouth, and he's completely unpredictable. You don't know when he's going to go off and reveal something.
Yeah.
So I was like, can I just do this before James Franco gets out in front of it? And they let me. So.
Nice. And that's such an interesting dynamic for Meet the Movie Press, where we hear about that. I mean, you're now, you know, James Franco goes out on Twitter and starts talking, so you're like, let's get this exclusive out.
I mean, yeah, it's not to say any James Franco story I get a hold of, it's like we got to put on the internet immediately.
Sure.
I mean, I know he's working on a ton of projects at any given time, and not all of them are out there. But I was nervous that he was going to let this slip.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm glad you got it, my friend.
Thank you. It's a great story. Should we bring on Big Al?
Yeah, let's do it. Without further ado. We have via Skype Alex Billington from firstshowing.net. Alex, are you there?
Yes, I am. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, Alex? What, no, JT, no, no applause for our guest. Come on.
Yeah, really. Bring back Phil.
I don't need applause.
There we go. That's for you, Alex.
Welcome, Alex. Thanks for being here.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for being in spirit and in voice.
Lazily Skyping in.
Well, sorry, I was planning to take a trek down to LA and be there, but not.
Where are you based?
I live in Manhattan in New York City.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I am too. How's that out there? I mean, you have a great site, by the way. Firstshowing.net, guys, if you want to. It's just a great site. I've been, checking it out. I've actually checked it out many times before, and then when Jeff and I were booking Alex, I started looking a lot more. And, I mean, I was on it this morning at like 7 in the morning, like reading about. You know, the Annabelle review or What was I reading about today, Alex, that I really like? God, you've already... Oh, yeah, Dwayne Johnson, Baywatch.
Oh, the Baywatch thing, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, Alex, how did you start for Showing.net? I know you're, like, the co-founder and president.
Yeah, how long you been around?
Yeah, I've been around 8 years. We started in 2006, which feels like forever ago for me, because yeah. This has just been... I can't believe 8 years have gone by so quickly.
Yeah, right.
But it started as kind of one of those sort of nerdy passion projects, which is, I think, a lot how a lot of movie sites start.
That's what I do, yeah.
The basic story is that a couple of my friends were going out to camp out for a movie, and I can name the one. It was Superman with Brandon Routh.
Oh, Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, not that it was worthy of a camp out, but nonetheless, we were excited.
I would have camped out. I'm a huge super, and I did freak out over that movie. I wanted to see it.
I dug a tunnel from underneath the theater and burrowed my way inside. No.
And so I had actually driven by the theater. There was no one there. I drove home, grabbed my stuff. As soon as I came back, there were two kids in line. And it just, like, really frustrated me. I was like, nah, you know, I wanted to be the first guy in line.
Yeah.
So, the ironic part is that I went up there and sort of as retaliation, I said, I'm going to start a site and call it First Showing to be sort of representation of the first people in line and that we were here and we tried. Oh. And then the funny part is that we became friends with the first people in line and we sort of all joined up as a group. And then I started the site through that, and it was originally as a place to sort of talk about the camp out and just sort of be like, here's what we're doing. We're at this theater, like, you know, we're excited for movies. Here's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And then we hosted events at the theater during midnight shows and would launch those through the site and just sort of have these events there. And we would actually, like, talk about camping out. And that was sort of half of the site. And then it sort of evolved into movie news, movie discussion, and the idea of, you know, talking about movies that are coming up, not just, like, what's on DVD, but also, like, the excitement for everything that's coming down the pipe. Because, as I'm sure you guys know, just like as movie fans, that's all I'm thinking about all day long anyway. It's
sure.
Like, when is Star Wars coming out? What do we know about it? And
yeah,
as you said, we're going to talk about spoilers, but like that whole idea of just like what's worth discussion and can we keep that excitement going? Because it's what I live for when it comes to movies.
That's really cool.
So that is how the First Showing got its name.
Yeah.
I think that's so interesting. I was always wondering that.
Yeah. That's really cool. What a great story. And it's like you can say that First Showing, I mean, it's like, what we do when we talk about these like really geeky movies like Star Wars, or you mentioned Superman Returns, and of course everybody's flipping out over Batman v Superman, but it's like you're camping out talking about the movies like years before they're out even now.
Yeah. I'm already camped out for GOAT.
I will be camped out for GOAT.
I want to talk about that. Come on, it's fun.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to underestimate you, Alex.
I know. Well, yeah, I guess we wanted to talk about Star Wars. Yeah, so. Alex, since we're on the line and we are talking about movies that you camp out for, I think the granddaddy of them all is Star Wars. Everybody camps out for Star Wars. Like Phantom Menace, I remember I live in LA, so I would drive by Man's Chinese and I witnessed that camp out. I would drive by every day and see these smelly people in tents. So, Alex, are you sick of the Star Wars spoilers and rumors and all the whatever is coming out from the interwebs?
Yes. I mean, to answer your question, yes. But I was thinking about it this morning because I knew we were going to discuss Star Wars. And the thought that came to mind was that I knew this was going to happen.
I mean,
it was inevitable. It was like from the moment a new Star Wars was going to take place, I'm like, this is going to be leaked out the wazoo. JJ and Lucasfilm can try everything they want to cover it up.
Yeah.
But it's just not going to happen. Like, we live in that culture where, as I think it was one of my writers tweeted yesterday, like, people just want to expose everything. They want to find everything and put it out there.
Yeah.
And it's not that I would get in the argument of, like, spoilers and how bad it is to know them so much as, like, the desire to just put it out there, to not care about anything in other people's experience and to just find it and be like, oh, here's the Millennium Falcon. We're going to get 100 photos of this. You know, here's this person standing on set. It's like, why do we have to have so much of that? Can't we focus on the purity of the experience at the end?
It takes two to tango. And
absolutely.
I don't know who is doing this. I don't know if this is a crew member. Like, it's obviously someone with incredible knowledge or access to the Star Wars shoot, in which case, JJ, start checking every goddamn security badge.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. I don't know where these goddamn leaks are coming from. But the other thing is, the journalist who, you know, the site that put it out first is Implicit directly, you know, part of this.
Absolutely.
And it's like, oh my God, if someone had brought me the same thing, there's no way I'm letting that out of the bag. Like, there's just no news judgment anywhere on the internet anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about that quick traffic grab. And it was so depressing because, you know what? I don't care about Star Wars. So I went and read the spoiler. And it's like, that actually could have gotten me to care about Star Wars, because I'm going to go see it. I have to go see it as part of the job.
Sure.
And if I saw that and was surprised, like, it could have made a Star Wars fan out of me. Now it's just another thing I'm cynical about with the whole franchise.
Now, so I want to find – okay, I guess I should issue a spoiler alert for the people listening at home.
We're not going to reveal it, though.
I don't want to reveal it either. No. And are we talking what I just read today? There's something that just came out today. I don't know if you've heard.
I can't even keep track.
Yeah. Alex, are you aware of what just came out today?
Well,
or?
I'm aware, but I'm not. I don't know what it is. Because I have literally read tweets that are like, the movie will be completely ruined if you read this spoiler.
Okay.
No. Like, it's the kind people are flipping out actually saying.
That was
like,
yesterday's, though, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was yesterday. I read it. I got it today. I did read the spoiler. And it was like my eyes started to take in the information. I saw just enough to be spoiled, and I turned away immediately, and I was mad at myself. And I'm now – if that's true, it is – like, guys, watch out. If you're a Star Wars fan and you – and this – I mean,
don't
Star
click.
Wars – yeah, don't click. Star Wars is such a pure movie-going experience that everybody references. Everybody references it as either I've got into this job because of Star Wars, I love movies because of Star Wars, and now we're getting Episode 7. This one is like a big reveal. So, guys, just fair warning out there.
And it's like, I don't know what is inside of us that makes us want to know. Like, I guess I clicked because of my job.
Yeah, that's what I do, too.
Yeah, if I was just a fan, I don't know why you guys are reading all this. I don't know why, you know, all the Star Wars stories get so many clicks, because it's like, you're just ruining the experience for yourself.
Alex, I want to get your opinion on this, because what I do with my writers when we are seeing these Star Wars exclusives and leaked photos and all this kind of stuff is that we go back and forth talking about whether or not we want to cover it, because we actually do care about spoilers and the fans' reactions. And I know a lot of guys out there in Schmoville, you know, you don't want to hear about this. You want to remain pure. Alex, are you on the same kind of wavelength where you talk with your writers?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Thankfully my writer has the understanding of how much of a spoiler is too much for our site. And for example, if there's something that really is like, okay, we have to report this because it's important, mm-hmm. we'll craft it so that none of the spoiler is in the headline, none of the spoiler is in the opening. Like,
yes.
You can read on if you want to get to it.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like, you know what? We balance the sort of need for hits and traffic with respecting our audience. And I think in turn, they respect us back.
Yeah,
for making that decision. It's a tough decision, because sometimes there are those moments where, like, you know what, we would get the clicks, but we need to save face on this and not do it. We need to realize that it's better for our readers not to put this out there, even though it is easily accessible.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's almost like the movie press, excuse me, the movie press mirrors Hollywood at times, where, like, mm-hmm. we get mad at Hollywood for serving us junk food.
Right.
But the junk food is a product that does business, and that's why Hollywood is going to keep serving it, because we're going to keep watching it.
Yeah.
And in a sense, all these Star Wars spoilers, you know, I read a lot of them on Badass Digest, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's like Devin posts them knowing full well he probably shouldn't be doing it, but he like cops to it in the article that it, like, they do good business for him. So it's hard, you know, he can justify it that way. It's hard to just pass on the traffic.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him, but.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's such a fine line when if you have an exclusive, which we had a Star Wars exclusive. And we ran with it, you know, and that's one thing, you know, maybe if you have an exclusive, God, you are worried about the business side of things, then you're worried about the fans and the reaction and spoiling and the pure movie experience. So it's a tightrope walk. But with this particular spoiler that I read this morning, I am not going to post it.
It was just too much. It crossed the line.
Yeah.
You know, last week we talked about the Superman whales thing. Like, that is like, but a moment. This is not like what it all leads up to.
Yeah. And that was, but that also, Alex, do you know about what Jeff, dropped a couple weeks ago with, in regards to Aquaman and Batman v Superman? It's something that was like brought up in Man of Steel. It was.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I read that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was cool, and it was already after the fact.
Well, I don't even know if it's true. We'll see. I think, but the point is, it's like, yeah, that's a spoiler in a sense, but it's the sort of spoiler that I think I'm okay with, and I think I have good judgment when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
The one that's online about Star Wars just crosses the line, and so I don't even think we should be giving it any more airtime.
Okay.
I don't know which site put it out, but shame on that site.
I don't know either, because I stopped reading and didn't even check the source. So, Alex, I'm glad to hear that you're kind of on the same wavelength and that you care about your fans like that, because that's what I do. I care about the fans and the movie-going experience, and let's move on.
Star Wars. Let's talk Doctor Strange. Alex, what did you make of the news that Billy Donnelly broke? Not Deadline. That Billy Donnelly, this is infamous.
Yeah,
broke about Joaquin passing on Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
it would have been so awesome to see him.
It would have been.
Yeah,
but it's another one of those. I'm like, he never would have taken it. Like, we all know Joaquin now. He only does PTA movies and the occasional like, okay, that's cool. But generally, he's like, he's such a hard ass about what he does and the way he works that I'm like, there's no way he's going to do a Marvel movie. I mean, Edgar Wright wouldn't even do a Marvel movie. How is Joaquin going to do one?
Yeah.
I mean, he got so close. What have they been doing the last 2 months? August and September, they've been negotiating. Like, if he knew, like, listen, it's a Marvel movie. It's a multi-picture commitment. Wouldn't he just know right up front, I don't want to do it?
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. Hey, JT, were you throwing that graphic up there? You did. Okay. I'm glad for the viewers at home, because we threw up some really great fan art of Joaquin Phoenix.
Cool. I can't wait to watch this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be neat. It's going to have pictures and everything. But Joaquin Phoenix, Jeff and I talked a little bit about it. I sent him an email, and I was just bummed because I love Joaquin Phoenix as an actor, and I think he would have been fantastic as Doctor Strange. However, what you said, Alex, Jeff, what you're saying, it is not a surprise that Joaquin Phoenix walked away. He doesn't want to go to Comic-Con. He doesn't want to be tied to that role for the rest of his life. He is, for lack of a better term, a complete artist in his, I think, in my opinion. He wants to do stuff that he likes. And Doctor Strange, maybe, even if it's the best script in the world, I think it really comes down to probably the commitment that Marvel wants, like roping him at, hey, Joaquin, 7-picture deal, sign here. No, I don't want to be tied to that forever. Is that what you guys think really happened? Like,
You go first, Alex.
Yeah, he backed out for that. Yeah, I think maybe that's what it was. It was a discussion, like, okay, I'm interested, I like the character, I like the script, and then to getting down to signing down the details, it's a little bit too much. Like, well, yeah. Like, he's just... That was my sense. I think that's the case.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the time commitment of shooting these movies and shooting multiple movies. You're talking about worldwide press tours for each one.
Yep.
You're talking about even the movies that you do, you know, that aren't Marvel movies, you're going to be asked questions about the Marvel movies.
Yep. Right.
And also, you know, and someone had, I was talking to a colleague yesterday about it. I think he was wary of shooting on green screen for, which is,
really?
He doesn't have much experience with.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think he likes being around flesh and blood actors and playing off someone. And when you're staring at a tennis ball, it takes a different set of skills and patience and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, from an outside perspective, I will bring up my girlfriend, who I was talking about this with last night. And she was like, who cares? Why can he just say, no, I don't want to do 7 movies, or no, I don't want to go to Comic-Con. And it's like, do you guys know? Maybe I want to get your feedback on this. Is it really like the contract that did it, or the Comic-Con, or the green screen? I think at the end of the day, from my opinion, Joaquin Phoenix walked away because he just doesn't want to do the comic book world and show up at the cons.
But then why did it take 2 months?
That's what I want to know. Alex, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, I defer to you guys because you know more about sort of the deal side of the Hollywood system. But I'm curious how far in he was over these 2 months. Or was it like he just took a meeting and it never really went anywhere? Or was it like he's in the meeting about to sign and decides on that moment he's not going to do it? Which, for all we know, that could have happened with Joaquin. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure.
We'll never know. And you know what? We talked a little bit about it on the show last night, but Jeff's scoop was, you're right on the money. He was talking. He was negotiating.
Sure. I called to check out the This Is Infamous story the day that it broke,
mm-hmm.
and was told by someone, like, listen, this this isn't true. Like, as far as I know, we're still going down the road with Joaquin.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy obviously had a really good source, because then the next day, you know, Deadline came out and was much more authoritative about it. I spent, you know, a good part of yesterday trying to get answers to some of these questions, and nobody's talking. And,
yeah.
Listen, it would have been great to see him in that role, but at the same time, it never made sense for him. It just didn't.
Yeah, as an actor, as who he is, as an artist, I keep bringing that up. Yeah, I think it's wasn't in his bucket list.
And that means we're going to get more cool, you know, indie movies starring Joaquin Phoenix.
There
so
you go. And
it's a win-win. We're still going to get Doctor Strange, guys.
Yeah, and which is a nice segue, Alex. We do a portion, a segment on this show, and it's time for the hopeful news break. Whoa, yes. Alex, what we do every Wednesday on Meet the Movie Press Facebook page, we drop a hopeful news break, and we like to get what the fans want to hear. And let's go with Doctor Strange, because a lot of fans have been saying they just want to know once and for all who Doctor Strange is. My boy, Jonathan Ellison, has dropped, "I would like to know who's finally playing Doctor Strange." Now, guys, I'm going to go to Jeff first. Alex, I want your opinion on this. Now that Joaquin's out, we've heard rumors of Benedict. We've heard rumors of Jared Leto. We've heard rumors of Ethan Hawke. Like, do you know anything now? I mean, you knew Joaquin, but any sniffing around?
I know nothing.
You know nothing.
I know nothing.
Awesome.
I would, you know,
this segment went nowhere.
The name that I had heard before Joaquin that kind of put me on the Joaquin trail was Justin Theroux.
That's what I'm hearing too. Alex, what's your thoughts, and are you hearing anything, or are you just reporting? Or
yeah, I haven't heard a thing either.
Yeah.
But the thought that came to mind, and I want to say this, is that I trust in Scott Derrickson mm-hmm. to choose a good person. Like, basically every name that has come up so far has been like, oh, okay, like, I'd really like to see that guy, not someone where it's like, oh,
yeah,
I'm not happy, which is could be the case easily. But like, even Ethan Hawke, who I think declined as well,
mm-hmm.
like even him, it would have been like, okay, yeah, I see that. I could see that working. And that's what I like about this, is that the names so far have been good.
So you think Ethan Hawke has turned down the role?
I literally thought I read something yesterday that said he said no.
Yeah.
Because that's similar to Joaquin, that doesn't seem like something he would do.
I'm not so sure about right that. I mean, listen, Ethan Hawke is a great actor, and he's been making some really good choices, like Boyhood.
Yeah.
And even Good Kill is really interesting, but some of these other movies, like Getaway, and I mean, some of this yeah. crap, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And Good Kill hasn't even found distribution yet, okay, mm-hmm. out of Venice and Toronto, and it got decent reviews, and it is a button-pushing movie. I saw it. It's definitely going to be like a movie that generates discussion.
Oh, cool.
Outside of just, you know, the movie news sites, but it hasn't even landed distribution, and
yeah.
you know, I just don't think Ethan Hawke is that kind of a movie star.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, the hopeful news break that we do, you know, people, they want to hear who's playing Doctor Strange, and some people even want to see Benedict Cumberbatch cast, or they want to see Tom Hardy cast. These are like popular names that are being thrown out there, and I don't want to see those. I mean, I do think Benedict Cumberbatch would be a great Doctor Strange. I think that's my opinion. I would not like to see Tom Hardy. I would like to see Justin Theroux. That, I think that's an interesting choice. That may be cool. Alex, yeah.
Well, this happens every Marvel movie, is that,
I know,
you know, we start to know about it, and then it's like, oh, who do you want in it? And it becomes down to, like, the fantasy football of casting. It's like, oh, I want Tom Hardy because I love him, and I want him to be in every movie, and if he can play this guy, why not? And,
yeah.
you know, I remember for a long time, every article we would write about the Avengers, there would be this massive debate in the comments about who the Avengers team should be. It was like literally everything we would write for 2 years, there would be a huge debate, every single comment.
Yeah.
Because people have that like mindset of like, oh, I want this exact person mm-hmm. to be cast. And then that's why it comes down to, you have to trust the filmmakers to cast someone that may not be someone we expect, but fits the role better than we thought because they are the ones making it. I mean, that's why I'm hopeful for whoever we end up with.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy is
nope.
way yeah. too busy to do this movie. And,
yeah.
and frankly, I don't want Tom Hardy. I don't want Benedict Cumberbatch because these guys have enough big movies. I don't want to see the same actors in every single big movie.
You know what? That's a good point. And you know what I would love for this Doctor Strange, and this is my hopeful news, is that we get a name and a cast, and it's cast, and it's just out of left field and awesome. Just kind of like going along the lines of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. That was like perfect casting. It was and it's before all the Marvel stuff, so it was really hard to call. But I think it would be great to have just an out of left field person. So what do you guys think? Who's an out of left field pick for you guys?
I'll let Alex go first.
Yeah,
oh,
Alex.
Man, now I'm on the
yep.
spot.
Yeah. Sorry.
You're on
our
the clock.
Show.
Well, maybe Ethan Hawke, even though he's not out of left field. But
yeah.
He's not who I would have came up with on my first list. But now that I hear the name, I'm like, you know what? That would be cool.
Okay.
If Ethan Hawke, I'm fine with
it. Okay, I'm going to go with Tom Hanks. That is out of left field, and Tom Hanks would never do it. That is not true.
So I've got one. He's already been in the MCU, though.
Okay, who is that? Well, so is Chris Evans, sort of, kind of.
I suppose.
Yeah. Okay.
Samuel Rockwell.
Oh yeah,
that would be awesome. That's
Sam
awesome.
Rockwell to me. Like, have you ever met this guy? This dude is strange.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I kind of love that about him. He just infuses every role with certain personality.
Yeah,
I think he would be pretty cool.
Oh, JT's got one.
Go
on,
throw a name in here.
Chime in. Yeah. Chime in.
I've always thought Viggo Mortensen would be awesome.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That'd be a good one, right? As he maybe he's too old. I don't know.
I don't think
he's in the Marvel universe somewhere.
He does, and I don't think he's too old. And I think that's a really good, that's a great call, JT, because
nice one, buddy.
Yeah, because he has the geek cred with Lord of the Rings, and he's a fantastic actor. And
sure,
I would love that. That's great. So, that's awesome. I like that. Thank you, JT. Yeah. All right,
is there anything to John Hamm rumors or no?
I don't. Yeah, I've heard John Hamm, but I don't know. I've only. Just kind of reported that, yeah.
John, call us. Let us know if there's anything to the rumors.
Tweet me, John. All right, let's move on with another hopeful news break, because I like this one, and it's actually something along the lines that I think I heard at one point and want to get your opinion on this. We got I'm going to butcher the name. Fasai Shahid, I think, is the name. Thanks for this one. I want to know if MGM wants Christopher Nolan to ever direct a Bond movie. Haven't we heard some rumors about him taking a Bond movie?
He'd like to. He wants in on that.
Yeah,
franchise,
I thought Ian said they were talking to him or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were talking to him at one point. But it's interesting with Nolan. I like to talk about this because with Interstellar coming up, everybody's flipping out over this. Rightly so. This movie looks amazing. I can't wait to see it. And Nolan is one of those filmmakers that everybody wants to know what he's doing next. Yeah. So if he were to come out and say, I'm doing Bond next, that would be amazing. I think I would be totally on board with that. You guys? No? Jeff's rolling his eyes.
No. I was like, well, of course we'd be on board with it. It's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be cool, right?
I don't think you're going to see Christopher Nolan do a Bond movie unless he is recasting Bond himself. So when they are ready to, you know, move on from Daniel Craig, maybe then they give Nolan a shot to handpick Bond and direct that first movie.
That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah, that's a great point. So I like that. And Alex, yeah, so you feel the same way? Would you want to get rid of – would you want Nolan to direct Craig, or would you want him with a whole new Bond? Maybe Idris Elba, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking like maybe he would end up switching things up. But
yeah.
I am of the ilk that's like I want Nolan to make a Bond movie, and I keep thinking in my mind like after Interstellar, he's at the – point where he can literally do whatever he wants and they would want him to do it, like maybe it could happen, but I think Jeff's right that it might not happen until they switch it.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, so be it. Like, look at Casino Royale and how much of a revamp that was to the Bond series and sort of what it has started.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they ever do that again, which they don't need to right now, then yes, I want Nolan to revamp it in that way.
Yeah.
Which, maybe that's the discussion they had. Maybe they were like, oh, do you want to do Bond 24? And he's like, no, I want to wait until I can really craft it in my way. And they're like, okay, well, Bond 28, then we'll come back to you.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And Idris would be a really good Bond. And I know that there's, you know, people are worried, well, how can James Bond be black or whatever?
Yeah.
I think that's exactly how you get away with a move like that, if you have a director like Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great. And yeah, look, James Bond, I've always felt, and I know it's, you know, they cast new actors and whatnot. I've always felt like Bond is like literally a code name, like that every actor that takes him on, he's like, it's just another spy that takes on the mantle of James Bond. I can make it work in my head. I know that they're pretty much just, you know, a character and they're just movies. But, you know, and it's not, they're not all tied together. I get that. But I would love to see Hollywood go with a black actor to play Bond, like Idris Elba, who is a fantastic actor. I just love that.
I think
that
it would shake things up in the right way. Like, it would be a progressive move, and it would sort of, when you finally see it, it would solidify exactly what you're saying, which is that it doesn't really matter his skin color, which is honestly where the whole world should be. It just matters that he's the character, and he can play it, and he does it well, and it's Bond the codename, like you're saying. Like,
yeah.
That's why I want someone like Nolan's caliber to do that with this, and then just be like, screw it, let's do it, and let's make this awesome.
Right, because he could reinvent the rules in a way that where we wouldn't, you know, be all huffy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's hopeful news break. Guys out there in Schmoville, thank you very much. Every Wednesday, drop it in there on the Facebook page, Meet the Movie Press. While you're there, like, share with your friends. And if that tickles our fancy, we will talk about it on air, because I like to hear the hopeful news that could actually happen, like Nolan directing a Bond, and we discuss it. So, guys, every Wednesday, drop it on in there. But I want to move on. We're talking with Alex Billington from firstshowing.net. And touch on some of the big stories that happened. And I want to touch on Adam Sandler and the Netflix deal, because this is a huge, kind of a game changer, in my opinion. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on it. So, Alex, what do you think of Sandler doing a Netflix 4-picture deal? What does that mean? What are we going to get?
First thing first, he's only producing.
Yes.
That's not true. Nope.
No?
The press release said producing and starring.
There you go.
Now, when it says starring, you know, you could say the eighth lead in a movie is starring in the movie.
Sure.
So we don't know that he'll actually be the lead in these movies, but he will appear, according to the press release, he will appear in all four.
Okay. So I'm wondering, well, one, we did touch on it last night on the Schmoes Know movie show, the main show. We talked about how, you know, the movie world is changing, where now we're going to have a movie, we don't have to go out to the theaters. And Sandler, it's interesting with Netflix doing this deal, because Sandler's movies, say what you will, I'm not personally a fan of them lately, because they're just kind of, they don't appeal to me. They're kind of, I don't know, I just don't like them. They're kind of bad in my opinion. But they make a lot of money. So how is he taking this to Netflix now? How is that changing the landscape, at least for him? I mean, he can produce a movie and star in it, and it breaks the bank, bad or good, whatever you say. But now he's producing and starring on Netflix, and nobody has to go anywhere, and they can just click. I mean, how is this possible?
Yeah, it's a huge move. I thought it was very interesting that this and the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel news all hit within a week or two of this really controversial Netflix article that has been going around about how Netflix is not really for movies anymore.
Yeah.
And how it's all about, and they're now a network, like a TV network that makes TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week or two later, we get these two really strong movie announcements. I think it seems a little bit, in my impression, that they're trying to move back to the idea that, like, they're now a powerhouse with as much money and power as any of the movie studios in Hollywood, and they can say, okay, fine, we're gonna literally produce our own movies.
Yeah.
We're gonna do our own content, and you know what? It doesn't matter if it goes in theaters. We're confident in our network. We're gonna put them out there. People are gonna watch them. They're obviously gonna be successful.
Yeah.
And it's gonna really shake up, like you're saying, like the way the dynamic works for, we don't have to go to the theater anymore, yet you get your Adam Sandler survey.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting that it's a film and not like a, hey, we're producing four network shows with Sandler.
Yeah.
We're doing four films.
Yeah.
Well, I did my is my voice cracking? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's early.
This is like big or something.
I want to be big.
I did my What's the Deal video on it yesterday. I was kind of fascinated by it, and it was really funny. I was with Adam Sandler the night before at the Men, Women, and Children premiere.
Right.
I know his cousin very well and his producing partner, and he was quite good in the movie. I recommend it, even though it's kind of getting beat up on.
Yeah,
but like this is between the Weinstein Company deal and the Sandler thing. Like, this is really Netflix, it's a play for Wall Street. It's a play to boost the stock, to reassure shareholders, that kind of thing. It's not necessarily a game changer yet. It's groundbreaking in a sense, but I don't think I don't think everyone's rushing to make movies over at Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, because we got into discussion last night, and Alex, get your opinion on this too. It's like the movie going experience, is that shrinking now? It's like, look, you got to go see Star Wars or Interstellar in the theater, okay? Do you have to go see Blended in the theater?
Right. No, which is why this movie makes sense. And that is the difference between the Netflix movies and actual, or, you know, the theatrical release Adam Sandler films, I think.
Right.
You're going to see, and this is just a hunch, I think you're going to see Adam Sandler doing more big budget spectacle kind of stuff at Sony, where Happy Madison is based, like Pixels, which is the highest budgeted Happy Madison production yet.
Yeah.
And then they're also developing Candyland, and that is going to happen. You know, that's just a huge brand.
Yeah.
Sony will eventually exploit it. And so that's going to be a $100 million movie or whatever. I think you're going to see old school Adam Sandler movies on that new media platform of Netflix, the kind of Happy Madisons and Billy
Madison. Yeah.
Right.
I know what you meant.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore's, those kinds of things that he makes with his buddies and his close collaborators.
You know what? That's a great point, and I hope that actually happens. You know, Alex, what do you think? I mean, are you hoping for like another Billy Madison? I would love Sandler to come back and do a raunchy R.
Did you see That's My Boy?
I did not.
Alex, did you see it?
No. Is that,
dude,
was it good?
You guys have to go see That's My Boy. It's hilarious.
Is it?
Yes.
I am putting
Jeff Snyder reputation on the line. Boom.
Wow. There you go. Alex.
There you go.
Exclusive.
Well, this might be kind of like Step Brothers, and then, like, I didn't ever want to see it, and then everyone kept coming out being like, you have to see this movie. It's hilarious.
there is a cult fan base around That's My Boy.
Really?
Definitely is.
Okay. Well, then I will take the Jeff Snyder seal of approval and check it out.
Check
sometime.
It out. Listen, if you just miss R-rated Adam Sandler.
I do.
I'm telling you, it will not disappoint. It's got Vanilla Ice.
Oh, well, that sold it for me. All right. Well, so we talked about that. This is an interesting development. It's going to change more and more as we go further. We're going to see what Netflix is. I love that point too, Jeff, that it is for the kind of Wall Street. It is interesting business.
And I just can't imagine Netflix. You know, I think I don't know where this number 80 million came up, but I heard, you know, that.
Yeah.
I don't think Netflix is going to be making $80 million movies, especially Adam Sandler comedies. That just doesn't make sense.
No, maybe 80 million, is it like broken up over a bunch of movies?
I could see that. Four movies that are 20 million a piece, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, if you can keep costs down, Sandler can get you a really big profit margin, and he has done a great job of expanding, of growing his global brand.
Oh yeah,
you know, not that long ago, Adam Sandler was really an American movie star, and his movies did not really travel. Mm-hmm. But he has definitely put in the time, you know, working the press overseas and that kind of stuff.
And
so that he's now a more of a global brand, like a Will Smith.
Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting to see what Pixels does, because as you mentioned, it's the highest budgeted Happy Madison production.
And that's Chris Columbus. You know, he's not working with Frank Caraccio, Dennis Dugan, the guys who do a lot of his movies. I think that is what's going to happen. You're going to see those guys directing those Netflix movies with him and, you know, having his buddies back and all that kind of stuff. And the Sony movies are going to be sort of the next level.
Yeah.
Chris Columbus, those kinds of filmmakers.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, Alex, I want to get your opinion on something. We've talked about spoilers. We've talked about press. We've talked about exclusives, all this stuff. Let's talk about a reboot. Let's talk about I Am Legend and the news that just dropped. And I kind of, okay, the fans really wanted to talk about this out there in Schmoville. They were pretty upset to hear that, why are we rebooting I Am Legend? And the term reboot is such an interesting, it's like there's reimaginings, there's remake, and there's reboot. One, I read a tweet somewhere, and I wish I could give credit where credit is due, but it's a good point. A remake is of one movie, and a reboot is maybe of a franchise. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Oh, silence. No.
No agreements.
you go, Alex.
Alex, what do you think?
It works for the right situations.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Do you believe we need a reboot of I Am Legend?
No, because it doesn't really fit in this time right now. Like, the idea of the solo guy and going off in sort of the where the planet has ended up, and even though like vampire monsters in it are just like, we don't, that doesn't really fit right now. Like, maybe in 20 years if you want to reboot it, sure, but I'm actually satisfied enough with the Will Smith version that
I am
there
too.
Is no need to go back and do another one. Like, I mean, it's kind of like Spider-Man. They rebooted it too quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I don't believe we need it. What I find interesting, though, is that it was a spec script from an iPhone salesman.
Right. It was Garden at the End of the World or Edge of the World, something like that. I think I broke the news of that sale to Warner Brothers. So I should really know the title.
Yeah.
But, they're retrofitting this spec to kind of, you know, fit their needs. Arash Amel had been tapped to do the I Am Legend screenplay, the sequel screenplay, but I guess, you know, he hadn't cracked it or whatever.
Right.
No, I don't think we need a reboot. I thought I Am Legend was half of a fantastic movie, and then the vampires came in and ruined everything.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I mean, it had a button ending, you know, that you guys have seen it, right? I mean, Will Smith does not make it out alive. So, you know, I heard so many rumors that maybe there was even going to be like a prequel kind of that brings Smith back, and that would have been ridiculous in my opinion. But to call this a reboot, and it, you know, it's like, I agree with you, Alex. Do we need that? I mean, with like where we're at with the movie landscape and what is popular, it's like, it's just more vampire monsters running around.
Yeah. You know, from an industry side, it feels like what they're doing is the idea of taking a brand and then shoehorning it into something specific. Like, for all we know, it could be a found footage-esque movie where kind of like more told from the angle of, oh, what if this happened in the world and, you know, cell phone cameras were capturing it and all this. I don't know if that's really the case, but it's like you could take the concepts that work today within the industry and then apply a bigger brand to it, and maybe that's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we don't need that, but
I'm not sure how found footage vampires would work if they don't show up on film.
I just mean from the idea of like, hole. You know, like the super cheap horror where, you know, you can make a maximum profit because you have the brand name attached to it. You make it really cheap. It maybe like I think Cloverfield, if instead of Cloverfield it were the I Am Legend story, like you follow one guy around the city, like very intimately, you know, handheld camera kind of that style versus the big what we got with the Will Smith one.
Right,
it's a good idea.
I actually like that idea. That'd be great. But it seems like because of the brand name of I Am Legend and because of the spectacle that was the Will Smith movie, that they're wanting another one, just period.
Maybe Warner Brothers just senses that there's an opening in the marketplace for a new vampire franchise. They're probably reading the reviews of Dracula Untold.
Yeah. When does that open?
Whoa. Vampires come on.
Yeah, and I hear with Dracula Untold that's the kind of the the Universal Monsters, that's the...
It wasn't supposed to be. So,
right.
Listen, I can't say much. I saw it a while ago.
Okay.
There have been changes to the film since I saw it.
What, Dracula Untold?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if there were changes that made it part of the universe or set things up to... But from what I understand, no, it was a standalone, and this was not going to be part of the universe. So
yeah.
Then I'm seeing reports this week that it is... I don't know what the hell's going on, guys. So.
Yeah, I don't like that idea, really. I mean, if the part of the Universal Monster movies, what, they're going to do The Mummy, they're going to do, who else are they going to do? I know Dracula, Wolfman probably. I don't know. Alex, what do you think? Do you like that idea that Dracula Untold is tied into the Universal Monster movie? Whatever. I don't know what you call it.
It seems like the following in the like Justice League style footsteps or Avengers, almost to the point where like one day in 5-10 years from now they're gonna have the monster team up or someone made a good point, like Van Helsing versus all the monsters, like, you know?
Yeah, oh god. Are we gonna get that? Probably.
Great.
Yeah.
Everybody,
that's the thing, like the reaction we have right here where we're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's frustrating. You know, the executives are sitting there being like, yeah, let's team them up. We're going to make so much money. But as soon as you go to the actual like fans, they're like, ugh.
Yeah. It just sounds desperate. It sounds like a marketing money making
scheme. It's the universe building thing where it's just every studio needs a universe. And yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah, I know. What there's,
you need the right universe.
So you're saying Dracula Untold, you have to wait for the end credits because there's a Wolfman cameo. Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea. You didn't see it, Alex?
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've just been reading the reviews. And
when does it come out?
Brutal. I don't.
Yeah,
a couple weeks, I think.
A couple weeks, yeah. Yeah, I'm not really. Whatever.
I told you, it scares me just because Luke Evans is supposed to play the Crow, which is my favorite comic book character.
That's right.
Like, I like Luke Evans on the whole, but he's like completely devoid of charisma as Dracula. Not to mention the whole movie is just completely misconceived.
Yeah, it's just been.
He's a warrior. There's no like vampire iconography or
really.
It's like a warrior movie. Oh my god, I can't say anything. But
you've said enough.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it. But Alex, so getting back to firstshowing.net, are you reviewing movies as well? Well, obviously you are. You're camping out. You want to see these things, and so. Is it like, do you get press screenings like all of us do that way?
To be honest, over the last 8 years, my progression has been less and less to reviewing. I review at festivals. That's the key.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So I go to film festivals and I always review. I don't review every single film I see. That's like too crazy. Mm-hmm. Some critics do, but I review everything I love or everything I have something, you know, really strong to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the year, it's kind of spotted. Like, I reviewed Gone Girl. I guess it was a festival film, but I reviewed that because I felt really strongly about it and I had to say something.
Which festivals do you go to?
I go to Sundance, Cannes, Toronto, and Telluride every year.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Those are like four key.
Yeah.
And honestly, after that, it's like you don't have to go to any more and you're fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the mix, like New York Film Festival, now that I live here, I go to. I went back to Fantastic Fest this year. I love Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, I would love to go to Fantastic Fest.
Oh, you get around, Alex. I'm envious.
Yeah. Yeah, so Alex, is that something that you do on your own to keep up with firstshowing.net and you know, review and do these stories? Or are the people like the studios like sending you there, or you know, how does that work for you on your website?
It's a mix of both, to be honest. For example, last year for what was the movie? The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay.
Fox Searchlight brought about 10 of us to the Berlin Film Festival.
Nice.
And that was because it premiered there. And mm-hmm. I really think they thought to themselves, we want everyone to be at the premiere, but no one is going to Berlin from the U.S.
Right.
So they're like, if we don't pay and bring them there, no one's going to show up that we really want to be there.
Right.
They'll probably hate me for saying that, but I felt like that was the case because as soon as I got there, it was like, oh, I'm back at a festival. I'm just so glad I didn't have to spend money on a European trip.
Right. Right.
But generally, Sundance, Cannes, and Toronto, and Telluride, I pay for on my own because I want to be there. And I'll fully admit to you guys, again, the name First Showing is because I am obsessed with being at the first showing of a movie.
That's really cool.
Yeah, like, simply put, that is usually at a festival. You know, the very, like, first premiere ever of a film is at a festival. Sometimes it's, like, finished a couple days before, like the Raid 2 at Sundance.
Right. Now, and when you're at a festival on a studio's dime, you don't feel any obligation or pressure to pull your punches or anything like that?
Look, I think I do, not in a pull your punches or sort of, like, cover up the dust of what's going on, but so much as make sure I own up to what they sort of want. And I guess what I'll admit, and because this will create a very convoluted discussion otherwise, is that I am very choosy about what they offer me. So mm-hmm. I won't go if it's a film I'm not expecting to like. Like, if you put the Wes Anderson film in front of me, which by then I'd already seen previews for, I knew I was excited about,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be able to do objective coverage, which is kind of like, here's the premiere, here's some cool stuff they had here. And then my subjective coverage is my review. So
okay.
Even if it's a negative review, they don't mind. I doubt that will be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still there to also remind people that this film is coming up.
Yeah.
To me, that's sort of the greatest point of my site, is not all about reviews and what's bad and good, but so much as like saying, here's what's coming up. You may love this film. I want to remind you that it comes out this weekend and then it's coming up soon. And here's a bunch of reviews for it.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I especially love that angle of your website, firstshowing.net, that you are the movie fan. You love seeing the first showing of the movie. And God, I know that. I love that. And I think that's really great.
Alex, do you give yourself, as the head of First Showing, do you give yourself all the best assignments? Or are there things where you'd love to do them, but you realize, you know, you've got to spread the wealth and share it with your staff?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Yes, I give my all the best assignments, and my writer occasionally is like, oh, man, you're going to Cannes right now, and I have to sit at home and write. And
yeah.
Like, But at the same time, I try to treat my writers as nice as I can. For example, I bring them to Sundance and Comic-Con, completely all expense paid.
Nice.
And then occasionally, like if we get a set visit that I'm not interested in, or we don't have anyone in LA at the moment, but previously, like, we had an LA guy, and then when I moved away from LA, it was like, there's a junket every weekend. You're more than welcome to take every one of those opportunities if you're interested.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then, you know, Interstellar pops up. Well, I'm going to fly to LA and cover that myself. But otherwise, you know, I respect that there are multiple voices in this industry and that there are a lot of people who just are passionate about film and talking about film and not reviewing it, but just like being a part of it.
Yeah.
And when I can sense real passion versus like the superficial, I want to be a part of Hollywood. That's where I know I found the right guy, and those are the people who I respect the most.
That's great.
Cool.
And how many, just real quick before you go, Alex, how many writers do you have on the site? Like, how you have a big site. You're taking your guys with you to Cannes and Sundance. So, yeah, how many people?
I only have – right now we have, like, 3 main writers.
Okay.
And then a couple contributors, but it's very small. It's like me and a couple guys.
And did you find them, or did they approach you and be like, well, we'd love to write for this site?
No, they're really cool stories where, like, I met my main guy, who writes under the name Ethan on the site. I met him in line for a Guillermo del Toro book signing. And okay. He came up to me because he recognized me from Twitter and was like, oh, I'm a big fan of the site. We started talking. And then eventually he was like, you know, I'd like to write, and we traded emails, and the rest is history.
So don't be shy, Schmoville. Come up to Mark everywhere. If you see Mark out there, hit him up. You could be the next Schmo.
Oh, they do. They do. That's right. They sure do. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us on Meet the Movie Press. It was great talking to you about all these movie stories and the snurms and it's just you have a great site, and I'm very happy to have you on, dude.
Keep up the good work,
Alex.
Thanks
for having me on. I really respect you guys, and I really love when there's a community in Hollywood that appreciates different opinions and that respects that we are all here because we love movies and that we have different things to say about them and that we can talk about them. And it isn't the clicky, this movie's better than another, but rather just the open discussion about it. So thank you guys.
Yeah, well said, and because that's what it is. We're movie lovers first and foremost, and we're doing this because we love it. And we're walking lines, and we're breaking scoops, and we're doing it because we love it. So, Alex, where can the good people in Schmoville find you? On Twitter?
On Twitter, @firstshowing, and @firstshowing.net online.
Yeah, you guys, check it out. Come
back anytime.
Yeah, come back anytime, Alex. Thanks again.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, guys, that's been another wonderful Meet the Movie Press.
Yeah, good stuff. Good episode.
Yeah, good episode. A lot of stuff that we talked about. I really liked that. That was fun. So, guys, thanks as always. Go hit up the iTunes. Subscribe. It keeps the lights on. You know, it really allows us to do what
we're
doing.
And I like lights because they illuminate my beautiful face.
That's right. And every Friday you can see this handsome mug right here. Jeff Snyder, where can the people find you again?
TheRap.com, the In Snyder on Twitter. Otherwise, leave me alone.
That's right. And as always, I am Mark Riley, Editor-Chief. You can find me at Schmozno.com every day. And Riley Around on Twitter, @RileyAround. So next week, guys, we have a big show. We have Scoop Master El Miyembe.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
He's coming in studio. He's breaking a scoop, a superhero scoop, right here on the show. So be sure to check us out next week. And that's all the time we have. Thanks again, Schmoville. We'll see ya.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Meet the Movie Press. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Schmoes No Network episodes, get movie news, or join the conversation, be sure to visit schmoesno.com. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmoes No Network.